It's almost 6:30, so hopefully you did get a program, a bulletin that's got the names of the words to the songs that we'll sing tonight, and invite you to come into the sanctuary if you are able to. I'd like to say hi to my mother, because she's on Zoom, you know, so. Notice, Mom, I did get a haircut. Oh. Good to have everybody here this evening, and it was just great to hear the song that you were practicing for this Sunday. The King is coming. I go like, wow. You kids did great in doing that. It seems like there's something I should say. It's we don't know what the weather is going to be like come for the weekend, but I've heard we're getting like 8 to 10 inches of snow, apparently. I don't know if that's going to be true or not. And don't listen to the meteorologists anyway, because somebody might get that snow, but it won't be us. We'll see. If for some reason we cancel church, we won't cancel, but if I can't make it because of snow, Jeff Kyle will preach for me. Just so you know that. It could be a short service. I thought they're short already. All right, I should ask you, did you enjoy the supper? It was good. Thanks for everybody who brought food. I just want you to know I did not eat anything because I normally don't do that. So don't feel that I did not like your food. I think it's great food. I'm glad you brought it, but I just normally don't eat until I'm all done speaking or preaching or whatever it is. So that's just me. I've always done that my whole life. Or it's very rare if I ever eat. So I get the leftovers, maybe, yeah. Might work. Last week it was really good leftovers. The pork sandwich. I've never had a pork sandwich that big with that much pork in it. Thank you, Dave. Let's have a word of prayer together before we begin our service, shall we? Heavenly Father, we are grateful and we are thankful to be able to come to Lent as it reminds us about the things that your Son, Jesus Christ, went through for us. And tonight, Lord, is one of those evenings that we think about and wanting you to also impress upon our hearts and upon our minds the things that were important to you, as we have probably the longest prayer of yours recorded in the Gospel of John that we are looking at through the past few weeks, and tonight we finish up on this prayer as well. But may that always be on our minds, Lord, as we think about tonight. It's what was important to Jesus before he was betrayed and before he went to the cross for us. And he really spells it out and he really says it very clearly in this prayer. And so use our time together tonight to draw us closer to you and for you to come close to us. We pray in Jesus' name. And thank you for the food and those who brought the food and those who got to have fellowship around the tables and to enjoy one another's company here tonight. And thank you for the music that's going to be shared on this Sunday. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody's got a bulletin? Okay. Good. We're going to sing... The first song is called There Is Power in the Blood. Do you know this one? All right, if you don't, you'll catch on real quick. It's a kind of a peppy one, and it's one that it's going to be hard not to clap your hands to, but it's okay if you don't. And it's okay if you do, whatever. So, Sharon.
Would
you be free from your burden of sin. There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. You know, one of the things that really makes us different from country music and any other kind of music is there's songs about the blood. Usually hear love songs, songs about love this and love that. But here in, when we come to worship the Lord together, it's blood. Who in the world does that? We do, because we know that there's power in the blood of our Savior who died on the cross for us. And that's why we sing about his wonderful power and the blood that is shed for us. It goes way back to the Passover in the Old Testament of the perfect lamb, and Jesus is our lamb who died for us on the cross. So it brings us to show us that he does love us. And so our next song is, we're just going to sing it through with the piano once, and then we'll do it a cappella the second time through. Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life, what more could he give? Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you. Jesus to Calvary did go, his love for sinners to show. What he did there brought hope from despair. Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. Very good. Reminds me of Bob Floss when he would say, okay, just the men, just the women, no piano, a cappella. You know, do a little bit of that here tonight. But the Lord loves you and me, and that's really, if you put it in a nutshell, the last prayer of Jesus in John 17, you can't help but to see that. That's what he's conveying to his Heavenly Father. So I want to just read, invite you to stand as we hear the last part of this prayer in John 17, and it's actually the last of the chapter as well. Verse 20 of John 17. Listen to the words carefully. It says, "My prayer is not for them alone." And Jesus is praying. "I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, may they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them." Amen. You may be seated. We come to the end of Jesus' prayer, as I've mentioned already. And this is when he said this prayer with his disciples before they leave from the upper room, or maybe it was after the upper room, and they're going toward the olive grove, which is known as the Garden of Gethsemane. And I just want to say that if you ever hear a person pray, you really know what's in that person's heart. And as we listen to Jesus in his prayer, we find out what is in his heart at this time in his life as well. The things to ask when it comes to prayer is, the one who is praying, is he looking upward? Excuse me. Is he looking upward for God's wisdom, his power, and to help to bring him glory to God? Is the prayer prayed in humility, or is it one of demanding God to do something? Does the prayer focus on others or only on himself or herself? Those are just good questions to ask yourself as you listen. And that's where, you know, I know that a lot of times, I grew up in a Lutheran church, the only one you heard praying was who? Probably the pastor. I think we really miss out on not being able to pray together and to hear one another pray. I mean, it has never come natural to me to pray. I would rather have somebody else pray and listen. But there's something about listening to other people pray. You get to see them in a way that you never see them before. You get to hear from their heart as they talk to God in a very real way. Last week, I think I talked about a couple of people who were dying. They knew they were dying. And one man, he wanted to have someone read to him John 17, the prayer of Jesus, before he died. He loved hearing this prayer. And then there was another guy who did just the exact opposite. He didn't think he was worthy enough or good enough to even have this prayer being read to him as he was dying as well. But we have the same prayer by the same Savior, who's Jesus Christ, seen differently by two dying men who both believed in the same Savior, and they both were united in their faith because they both believed in the same Word of God. Just kind of interesting how one looks at it this way and one the other way. So what's on Jesus' heart as he prays? I just want to give you six things that we have. I'll just kind of put it in a nutshell if I can do that. This is what's on Jesus' heart when he prays this prayer. And there's a lot of things in this prayer. But one is that he wants to give glory to God and hoping that he himself, God, would give him glory. But really, is he wants to make sure that glory has been given to his Father in all that he has done here on earth in his time in his ministry as well. He's shared with his disciples that he's leaving them. They are grieving. They don't want to hear this. But that's the first thing we see. The other one is that Jesus wants people to come to know God as their Father. He has revealed that to them through the things that he has done along the way, the things he has taught, the things he's spoken. But he wants people to come to understand and know that God the Father, what he is like. The third one is that Jesus wants people to know that they can have the assurance of eternal life, because only Jesus can give eternal life. Only Jesus can forgive your sins, and that's why he came. That's why he was sent to come and do this for us. Four is that his disciples' unity and protection, he wanted to give to them as they live in the world, but they are not of the world. But he wants to know that his disciples love being together. Even they may not agree on everything, but there is that unity that they have because of Jesus, that Jesus had with himself and with the Father. The fifth one is that he wants his disciples to know that God will do a personal indwelling, that God will come and live inside of every believer, of every Christian, through the Holy Spirit. That God really wants it to be a very personal kind of a thing with their faith with him. And the last one is looking forward to the glory of being united with his disciples and with his Father again in heaven. He had to leave heaven to become one of us. But he knows he's going back to receive that glory again, to be with his Father, and waiting for the day in which his disciples will be with him again in heaven one day. So this prayer is not just for his disciples, the 12 at this time that he prays this prayer, but he's praying for the believers who will believe in him in the future, which is us. This happened close to 2,000 years ago. His disciples did not know us, and we didn't know them. We read about them. But Jesus is praying for us even 2,000 years ago in this prayer, that we would respond to God's word and through other people, however that may have happened in your life, but that we would come to know that it is the message, which is from God's word, that really tells us that God loves you. You know, sometimes we haven't always heard that, even from our earthly father. I love you, son. But here we find our heavenly Father says it all the time. I love you. But he doesn't want us to stay the same. His love will move us in ways that we've never been probably moved before. God has a better plan for your life than you may think or would want to admit. God demonstrated his love by sending you, his one and only son, to die on the cross for you. God's son that he sent, Jesus Christ, he was innocent. And he died on the cross for your sins. Not his, but your sins, my sins. And God paid the debt that you and I could never pay it. We could never pay it. And God knew this, and he forgives our sins and declares us righteous by faith. We call it justification by faith, just as if I never sinned. And then he sanctifies us, which is a lifelong process of becoming like Jesus. We never attain it in this life. Sometimes we do it better than other times, but we never attain it fully until he calls us home. But God really wants to give us the gift of salvation that enables us to be like his son, Jesus, and we do that by faith. We just trust him. This prayer shows Jesus' love for his followers. We know that his followers has always been about being one like him and his Father, the oneness that they share together, the unity. He wants his disciples to be unified and to enjoy being together, and there's protection and the assurance of faith that they all share together. It's a personal relationship where it says that God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit lives in them in this prayer, but it's also that God comes to live in us. Amazing, isn't it? That he'd even want to do that. He wants to live in us. And he does, as we believe and trust in him. That's where we find there's joy. Where? Within. There's love that comes from him. And where does that love demonstrate itself? In us. Jesus, verse 26. It says in them, but the them is us. Jesus lives in us as his disciples. Why is that important? Here's the reason why. It's that the world needs to see something tangible. You know, something that you can really go like, yeah, only God could do this. And that's where Jesus said, they'll know that you're my disciples by the way that you love one another. That's tangible. That's something that can be seen. How many churches have you been a part of that you've seen the opposite? People not wanting to get along with one another. People who stopped probably even attending church because there was something said or somebody did something that they couldn't handle. Jesus wants unity. It's not what I'm saying. I mean, I like that too. But Jesus, he wants unity. And that's what he'll bring. People want to see where there's love that is real in people. Not phony, not fake, but where they really do love each other. And they can see that because they know that the people in the church, in God's church, love the unlovable. That's only something that God can do. Where people see, like, how can they love those people? How can they love those kids? There are people who can love in ways that just make you go, Shazam! That's real. It's not fake. There's a motto that some of you have heard along the way in life. It says that to know and to make him known. I'm not sure if it's Wycliffe that says that or if it's InterVarsity Christian Fellowship that has that. I'm not really sure who's got that. But I just ask, is this true of you? to know and to make him known. Is that true of you? Because it needs to be. It ought to be. And we might say, Lord, I don't know. I want to be. I'm open to that, but only you can make that happen in me. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, it says that we are Christ's ambassadors. The Apostle Paul says this. You know what an ambassador is? We have one that's here tonight all the way from Africa who's an ambassador. Ahmad. He's going to share a little bit after the last song here tonight, if he wants to, and if you want to stick around, you can. But I think of missionaries who go to dark places to share the light of the world in those places. And there's a lot of different places where it's just oppressive. It is, you go like, I've never felt I've been in such a dark place because of the evil that you just sense in that place. It's wonderful to hear of people who come to Harbor of Joy and they go like, you can just sense the Holy Spirit here. And they go like, I just love it. That it's a whole different thing when I come inside the church that I don't experience anywhere else where I go during the week. It's better when you hear people say, I feel like I'm home when I come here. There's no better place than to be home. Here's something else that is very interesting in this prayer that Jesus points out. It's that we bring glory to God when we go. When he calls us and we go, we're willing to do that, and then we serve him. And that goes back to Matthew 28, verse 18, the Great Commission. Sometimes it's not where God calls everyone to go to another country or to go overseas. But it's just for God who wants to hear someone say, I'm willing, if that's where you want me to go. I'm willing. But you'll have to show me how to get there, how that's all going to be. But I'm just willing. And to honestly say that before God, I'm willing to go. And God might have a completely different different change in your life of saying, well, I can probably use you better here in Milford, Iowa. I just want to see if you're willing to go, if I wanted you to go somewhere else. Are you willing? I remember the guy was a pastor at the time, but he shared that when he was a young man, he did not want to go and be a missionary in Africa. It was the last place he wanted to go. And he was afraid that that's where God was going to send him if he ever said, yes, Lord, I'll go. It took many years for him to come to the point where he said, okay, I finally said I'm willing to go. And then God changed that whole idea. He just wanted to see if he was ready and willing to go where God would send him. And so as soon as he said he's willing to go to Africa or wherever in the world, that desire of going or that fear of going away left him. And he knew that God wanted him to go and do something else here in America. So Jesus, which is very interesting, he prays for us. He intercedes for us, which is praying for one another, praying for somebody else who don't even know that you're being prayed for. But he prays for our protection from the evil one. He knows that we're left in the world, but we're not of the world. And he sees the importance of sanctifying us, which means it's to set us apart, that we're different from the rest of the world. We're set apart to follow God. To live for Jesus. And this is when we'll find out that we are going against the current. The world likes to go in a great flow. And we have to be kind of like Lewis and Clark. go against the current, to find the place where we need to go and to see what God is going to do. The more that I live here on earth, the more of a stranger I feel. And maybe you do too. The world is going crazy. And to stick with God and to follow His word, more and more it's going to get more difficult rather than getting easier. And you kind of feel back to the Israelites when God called Abram, how they must have felt as a new nation, strangers in the world. Because everything they were told to do by God was so different from the neighboring countries, the neighboring powers. They did everything kind of different. And yet there were some who wanted to do what their neighbors were doing and did. And God said, no, 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 no. If you want to be my people, this is where you need to be. And there's people today who don't want to hear that. And there may be some here tonight that don't want to hear that. But I'm just saying, God says this, not me. And I need to be truthful to His word. So Jesus lives in us. The Holy Spirit empowers us to be like Jesus. And we need to be willing to go and to serve Him, knowing that we will be with Him one day in heaven and to meet Jesus with all the glory that goes along with Him. We're there because of Him. And to that, all I can say is, wow. Wow, I can't wait for that day to come. Some who we know in Harbor of Joy are there. Some I don't know. But in the meantime, what have you done with Jesus in your life? It all comes down to that. John 3:36 says it all. Remember a time when the pastor would ask you, everybody raise your Bible, get them up high, let's see them. Remember those days? Nowadays, if you say that, you'd probably raise your cell phone. Whoever would have thought of that? But I'm just saying, you know, it's important. I mean, if you have a cell phone, you can get the Bible, you got the app or something for that, hey, more power to you. But remember the day, just bring your Bible. I mean, it's just a simple thing. But it's always to check out, what is the pastor saying? If he says he's preaching from this portion of Scripture, check it out. Don't believe him until you've checked it out. And see if that's what it really says. I don't know where that came from. That was like a little commercial, I think. But it's there. But let's just pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this prayer that we need to read over and over and over again. And I knew it was there, but I never really thought there was that much in it. But there really is a lot there, and we really do find out what's important to Jesus. And it just makes us kind of say, wow, I didn't see that before. But Lord, it helps us to see you in a way that we probably don't normally see you. And if Jesus thought it was important to be praying to you, then that means a lot to us too, that we too then need to be in prayer. And I don't say that, Lord, to put a guilt trip on anybody here. I just say that it's just true. And so work in however way that you want to work in our hearts and in our lives that draws us in that direction, to spend time with you, to read your word and want to read it, and to want to pray. There was a time I did not want to do that. But Jesus makes all the difference in our lives when we invite him in to be the number one person in our lives. So thank you, Lord, for this prayer and all that it teaches. Give us the same mind. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing song is Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. The theme has been Jesus looking up. It's a prayer. So we're going to sing the first two verses together, and then the last one will be just a cappella. So let us sing the song. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. One moment. Follow me. Forget the piano. Okay. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Okay, okay. I heard something over here.
That's what I have.
Okay.
Just play.
Just play it. So now we'll just play it two times, what's left. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. We're just going to pray the Lord's Prayer together. And then, Ahmad, I'm going to have you come up. Are you tired? It's okay. It's okay. Dean sleeps a lot in church, too. No, it's okay. But not tonight. No, not tonight. But let's just pray the Lord's Prayer together, okay? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. If you don't want to stay, I just want to know that it's okay if you leave, but we'd like to hear from Ahmad because he's come a long ways. And it's, I didn't realize, I thought I had met him 2 years ago, and here we find out it's been like six since we first met, about 6 years ago. Unbelievable. Only reason I know that is because you have glasses. You didn't have glasses the last time I saw you. But come on up. Ardeen, you want to say something?
I just want to welcome Ahmad. And this is just kind of a continuation of our Wednesday night fellowship program. Ahmad did a wonderful job with the kids. I thought, what are the little kids going to do listening to somebody talk about Africa? But they sang songs and they spread the word of God. And I thought it was a wonderful time. And this gentleman has a very interesting story to tell. And we won't get it all in tonight. But if you haven't heard his story, I encourage you to talk to him. So I'll hand the mic over to you. And
I should have been doing this while you were talking, Dean.
Yeah. Thank you, Pastor, for this opportunity.
This will be much better because then you don't have to worry about holding anything. Oh. One moment, please. Let me see here.
You can give on another commercial.
Say 1, 2, 3.
1, 2, 3. Okay. The message has come. And I'm not going to preach another message. But there is something I want us to remind ourselves of. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. That's 1, 2. 1 Corinthians 11, 26. Let me start from 23 to 26. For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this. Whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." 26. "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." It's a condition there. And he says, "So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sin against the Lord." So, he's put the Great Commission here. It's a mandate. Anytime you drink, you proclaim is dead till he comes. Many times, we are taking the communion, we are drinking the blood, we are eating the body, and we just go. But he's there. The Great Commission, his last command should be, his last command should be our first concern. But where I'm coming from, how many of us can go to Africa? A lot of, many of you, few people, Madam Nancy, few people can come over. But you can become armed hands and feet for that part of the world. Jesus said, you should go. But if you can't go there and become your hands and feet, is it not the same? Is it not the same? When I'm doing, it's just like what we are doing. So please, anytime you take the communion, and we are in Lent, the death of Jesus Christ was not a joke. So he said, anytime, for whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Until he comes. Is it not present continuous tense? And so, please, as a saint of God, this is a mandate. It's a mandate. And it's my prayer that the Holy Spirit will help us to come to ourselves. After all, the essence of the Holy Spirit, the purpose for which the Holy Spirit came, is power for service. It's power for service. Ye shall receive power, and you will be my witnesses from Jerusalem, Judea, to the utmost part of the world. And so if we have the Holy Spirit, come and pray, Holy Spirit. If we have, in Africa, we use machete. So that is what I can use it as an example. Machete, we sharpen it and we go and win. But if you sharpen it and you put it down without using it, it will go rough. So I want to tell you, I've come to remind you that the Great Commission is not great suggestion. It's a mandate. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached as a testimony to all over the world. Then the end will come. Who will go for us? Before I sit down, I will sing one song. He says, for I'm building a people of power, and I'm making a people of praise, that will go through the land by my spirit, and will glorify my precious name. Build your church, Lord. Make us one, Lord. Join our hearts, Lord, through your Son. Make us one, Lord. In your body, in the kingdom of your Son. In the kingdom of your Son. Thank you. I'm done.
I don't want to go to Africa to get this.